A couple of months ago, I made the decision to quit.
Retire.
Retire.
I'm taking a break.
It's not clickbait.
Things are changing.
I am bringing them to an end.
If I'm honest with you guys, don't want to do this anymore.
Now it's time to take a breather.
I'll be handing off the channels.
Full-time filmmaker has been acquired.
This era of Polyphonic is over.
It is the correct decision.
And it's time to move on.
In the last few months, and especially since the new year, each of these channels has posted some form of goodbye video. It's been really interesting to see, and I just want to take a few minutes to talk about it. I'll be using clips from some of them throughout the episode, so make sure to show your support by watching on their channels as well. I've left links in the description. What I and a lot of others have noticed about these goodbyes is they all have a lot in common. There are a handful of factors that each of these creators mention. Work-life balance, loss of joy and creativity, and though they might not use the word, each of them mentioned some aspect of alienation. I'm not going to say, ooh, it's all capitalism, because there is more to it than that, but it does make a lot of these problems worse, as you'll see in a bit. Anyway, I think let's start with work-life balance. Take a listen.
For as much as I love you, and I love overthinking things, and I love theorizing, I don't love late nights. I don't love the fact that Steph and I have been work first for over a decade, where I'm sitting down at dinner with my best friend and we're talking about business logistics.
If I get that feeling, you ever have that feeling when you're like, you know, I'm with family right now, but I need to get back to the office, or I should take, you know, lunch to work or whatever it is. I want to stop that. I want to completely eliminate that.
I can't keep this up. This is my dream job, and I have a lot of fun doing it. I know I'm incredibly lucky, but a dream job is still a job, and it's a job that keeps getting bigger and more complicated. I am so tired. There's nothing in my life right now except work.
But in reality, it just put me in a constant state of stress and work, and now I'm always at work. My home is work. A vacation should become a vlog. Every TV show I watch and song I hear should be turned into some sort of content. Like, I shouldn't be relaxing right now, I should be making content, and it just isn't possible for me to turn that mindset off. And I realized this is not how I want to live any longer.
I don't get any satisfaction from the type of work that I do here anymore. And if you work 7 days a week, that becomes very heavy mentally. For the past 10 years of my life, there has not been a single vacation where I was not working. There has even been times where I was working on Christmas Day. And don't even get me started on New Year's Eve, because I hated it when it was getting too late, because I wanted to be fit the next day to work again.
Work-life balance, the pinnacle of achievement throughout history. Since the very first caveman enslaved his neighbor, we've been fighting to secure a decent balance between the time we spend at work and the time we have for leisure, friends, family, recovering to go back to work. You've probably seen that old image from when people were fighting for an 8-hour workday. 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours for what we will. That sounds pretty nice. These days, 8 hours of work just doesn't really cut it for most people. And believe it or not, that goes for YouTubers too, and we'll get to that in a sec. A growing number of Americans work more than one job, and some 400,000 work two full-time jobs, just to make ends meet. Everything from housing, to groceries, to utilities is getting more expensive, and the only thing that's not going up is wages. You've heard it before, but if the minimum wage had just kept up with inflation and productivity gains since the Reagan years, it'd be over $24 an hour today. But here in the richest country on earth, the federal minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. It's hard to have a decent work-life balance when the hours you work don't earn you enough money, so you have to take on more work. YouTube is similar, but there's an added layer of complexity. Caleb makes a point in his video that I think a lot of people don't realize about YouTube as a career. Your input doesn't necessarily equal your output. You can put a ton of work into a video and make way less money than you did with a half-assed video. That's very different from other jobs. Exploitation aside, yes, obviously everyone should be making more money. But in general, with traditional work, if you put in more hours, you're financially rewarded for that. If you're in sales and you put in an extra 10 hours a week, you sell a couple more cars, you make more money. If you do hourly work, add a few hours to your schedule, you make more money. If you work freelance and you take on another gig, you make more money. On YouTube, you could add 30 hours a week and not see a cent in extra income. In fact, you could see the complete opposite and have your revenue tank for what seems like no reason at all. So, it's not surprising that just about every YouTuber says they have a bad work-life balance. You're constantly worried that if you don't feed the algorithm, you won't be able to pay the bills. This is one of the core features of capitalism. You work or you starve. And on YouTube, sometimes you work and you still starve. That uncertainty is draining in a way that is difficult for a lot of people to understand. But the money aspect is only part of the work-life balance thing. When you're a YouTuber, you have work at your fingertips 24/7. Much like Ken's job is just beach, my job is just phone. YouTube is right here, all the time, in my pocket. I'll just have a quick peek, just one little peek. I swear, one more peek, just one look. It becomes all-consuming. You can't escape. It gets so bad sometimes that I'll be running errands and I'll check YouTube Studio when I'm stopped at a red light. You also have to stick to a schedule religiously, or people forget you in a month. I upload here every other Friday at 9 a.m. Central Time. The program is every Friday. First Thought News episodes are every Monday and Wednesday. Analysis episodes are every other Friday. And my new channel is every other Friday, staggered with Second Thought. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy a lot of this. Yeah, it's a job, and sometimes I just want to throw my computer out the window. But YouTube is still a dream job for me. I like sharing things with people and being creative. But that's where we run into another problem.
My whole life just turned to this business, and it's all fun when you get to make videos, but not when you're managing a business and constantly doing tasks that you just don't like to do. I miss to be creative. I really miss that so much.
One thing I use as an analogy is kind of like a contractor building houses. When you first start, you know, you're loving it, you're building houses, you're making money, you're doing your thing. But after a certain point, you kind of develop things you enjoy and things you don't enjoy about something. And when it comes to making a video, if that's a house, you look at your next video that you need to do because it's your job, and you don't want to pour another foundation. You don't want to frame out the whole house. You can see all of the work ahead of you, and you just don't want to do it. Throw in all that other fun stuff we already talked about, and you have kind of this mess. And so that's where I'm kind of at, or have been at.
I feel like everything online is slowly converging towards the boring, bland, gray middle point where everyone just tries to maximize retention, views, and this metric and that statistic, which just leads everyone to like the same end product. And it's become beyond saturated. For me and my own creativity, I just don't enjoy where this is going.
So, creativity and homogenization. This is another challenge under capitalism. We are all unwilling subjects of the profit motive. YouTube is an inherently creative job. You're producing art or content or entertainment or whatever you want to call it. But your base consideration has to be financial stability. There's a reason most YouTubers don't do it full time. And those that do have to supplement their income with Patreon, link below, please, love of God, link below, or sponsorships or selling LUT packs or online classes. When you're doing YouTube as a side project, you can afford to make the videos you want. But when this is your full-time gig, like it is for people making these goodbye videos, your art has to take a back seat to putting food on the table. That's a tough pill to swallow for people who are genuinely invested in creating artistic or thoughtful things for their audience to enjoy. No one starts out making money on YouTube. It is always first a labor of love. But as soon as your channel gets verified, the calculus changes. Now you have to figure out, okay, do I want to keep this as a side project, or do I want to build this into something that can pay the bills? And even if you decide on the former, sometimes your channel will grow and become financially stable anyway. And then it's really hard to turn down leaving your dead-end job to focus more on the work you enjoy, which then becomes a job, which then requires you to play by the rules of the YouTube game to continue growing, staying relevant, and making a living. It's the trap pretty much every successful channel falls into. But there's another aspect of creativity under capitalism that's worth exploring. There's this concept called enshittification, sometimes called platform decay. Coined by writer Cory Doctorow in November of 2022, enshittification refers to the tendency of online platforms like Amazon, Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, and YouTube to act as a predatory, two-sided market. Here's how Doctorow describes the process. Here is how platforms die. First, they are good to their users. Then, they abuse their users to make things better for their business customers. Finally, they abuse those business customers to claw back all the value for themselves. Then, they die. I call this enshittification, and it's a seemingly inevitable consequence arising from the combination of the ease of changing how a platform allocates value, combined with the nature of a two-sided market, where a platform sits between buyers and sellers, hold each hostage to the other, raking off an ever larger share of the value that passes between them. The internet is full of examples of this form of decay. Google search used to simply return results to the best of its ability based on the parameters you gave it. Now the whole first page of results is ads and websites full of articles that are 90% SEO phrases. Amazon shows you a dozen sponsored items before you get to the real results. TikTok and Instagram are specifically tailored to keep you scrolling and consuming. YouTube is a prime example of this form of decay. First, it was a place for normal people to publish silly videos. Then it attracted investment and advertisers. Then it changed how the platform works to maximize revenue generation and encourage content that plays by those rules. And now it's running an ad block blocker to really crack down on any lost revenue and force people to pay for YouTube Premium to stop the incessant advertising. And none of this is evil. It's just the logical conclusion of a neoliberal capitalist system. Every platform is a market, everything must have a dollar value attached, and consumption is a lifestyle. So it's no surprise that big channels that have grown with the platform are noticing this trend and are disgusted by it. There's no room for creativity when everything has to be scripted, edited, and presented for retention above all else. That's how we ended up with MrBeast. He plays the game perfectly, and his videos are disgusting and devoid of any actual value beyond being used as slop for the content trough. And hey, look, no hate for people who just want to watch MrBeast run some deranged game show. That's your prerogative. But for the people who started out making beautiful things for the sake of making beautiful things, this trend of enshittification is really disheartening. And kind of along those lines is the alienation aspect of all this. At the end of the day, it's you against the all-consuming maw of the internet. YouTube is still such a niche career that there are so incredibly few people who actually understand what it's like to do this. It's lonely. It's stressful. It's scary. Strip away all the frills, and at its core, YouTube is an altar on which you lay yourself at the mercy of a billion people. You play for the crowd. You make a spectacle of yourself. You know there are buzzards out there waiting to turn your next video into drama content. You know who you are. You are at the center of hundreds, thousands, millions of views, and yet you're completely alone. None of these people know you. None of them see the work that goes on behind the scenes. It's you, and your camera, and your laptop. That's not how humans were meant to function. Even these large channels face alienation to some extent. They often grow beyond the capabilities of one person, and that person then relinquishes creative control of the content in order to run the business side of things, separated from their own art for the sake of playing the profit-driven YouTube game. Speaking of profit and big channels, there's one more thing we need to consider.
I should have just done this as a live stream and uploaded it to Captain Sparkles 2, which, speaking of, no changes planned for live streaming and the VOD uploads on the second channel. That's business as usual.
I have like another channel called Papa Meat that's doing really well. And if you haven't heard of that, feel free to check it out. We post like every 3 days, but that's becoming more of like my moneymaker actual job thing now.
This probably isn't goodbye, goodbye, like not forever. The podcaster house, Lateral, is still going out weekly. My newsletter is still going out. The Plus channel will probably return at some point. There'll likely be new technical difficulties episodes.
I'm still going to be here. I'm still going to be alongside the creative directors talking about programming, brainstorming ideas for upcoming episodes. That's awesome. I love that. I don't want to give that up. But the other cool thing about this is that it opens up the door for me to turn the script. For the last 13 years, I've been commenting on other people's IP, but now that I'm stepping out of those roles, I get to create the IP.
Here's the part that no one that I've seen has really talked about. The one big thing to realize is that most of these people aren't quitting being creative. Just about all of them have other outlets for that, whether it's a second channel or a podcast or some other avenue. They're just stepping away from the horrible grind that full-time YouTube has become. And this isn't me saying, aha, you're not really quitting. That couldn't be further from the truth. I'm genuinely really happy for these people because I recognize that in the near future, I'm going to be in the same boat. I've been running Second Thought for 8 years. It's gone through a couple different iterations, but I've never missed an upload in that time. And I'm tired too. If you think about it, what's the point of YouTube? What's the bottom line in 2024? More views, more money, more recognition. The information you're trying to get across, the message you want to send, that takes a backseat. I know a whole lot of channels in the education niche that have transitioned from making videos they think are interesting to making videos they think will perform well. And when that works, you scale up. You hire a couple people, then some more. And then suddenly you're Linus Tech Tips with an army of employees, and now you're just running a business. Okay, so why not stop? It's one thing to step back from gaming content or infotainment or gear reviews, but it's a bit more challenging when you're making ideological content. Yes, obviously everything is ideological, but you know what I mean. I make content designed to get people interested in socialist ideas. My main objective is to get people over that initial hurdle of socialism bad and funnel them into organizations to help build class consciousness and dual power. Not to pat myself on the back, but I think I do a pretty good job of that. I've gotten a bunch of really nice messages over the last few years from people who have gotten involved in organizing because of my videos. And it's really hard to justify stepping away from that. I'm not under any illusion that my channel is the only thing driving Western viewers to get organized. There are so many fantastic channels that do excellent work. But for better or for worse, Second Thought is the largest channel in this niche, which means I have at least somewhat of an obligation to keep doing this work. And don't worry, if all this sounds like I'm quitting, I'm not going anywhere, I'm just thinking out loud. Most of these YouTubers retiring are from massive personality channels. They've made their money, they can ride off into the sunset, and more power to them. That's great. But I think it's also important to remember that YouTube is home to literally tens of millions of channels, and the majority of them, over the course of their YouTube career, will throw in the towel for all the same reasons as any of the big names, but without the financial security or enough fame to segue to something else. YouTube, like anything else, is not really voluntary. Under capitalism, you work or you starve. If YouTube is your full-time job, you better make the right sacrifices to the algorithm because you need the money and you have no idea if you're going to get it. And that's before we even consider demonetization or age restriction. You could put 100 hours into a beautiful documentary and end up way in the red because you showed current events that YouTube thinks are not advertiser-friendly. But that's a topic for another video. And there's a whole other aspect to this that we didn't get into, which is people looking at YouTube and seeing a platform by and for amateurs. And that's just not really the case anymore. Yeah, anyone can upload to YouTube, and that's great, but most people don't realize that YouTube and the film industry have kind of merged into this one big content blob. I mean, heck, our team has worked all across the media landscape, from, you know, documentaries, TV, you name it. And if you followed the news about the labor situation in Hollywood, you know that everything is on fire. A couple of years ago, there were horrible stories coming out about working conditions for VFX artists. Same thing for animation. Last year you had the Screen Actors and the writers striking, and they haven't both gone on strike at the same time since 1960. IATSE, the labor union that represents a lot of technicians and craftspeople, they're talking about going on strike sometime this year. And all of this is connected to the same kinds of things that YouTubers are talking about. Crappy residuals, insane overwork, unreliable income, and now these stupid AI content farms. This is all connected. And YouTubers retiring is just one tiny aspect of a larger narrative about work, art, and life in the 21st century. Anyway, this was not the script I was expecting to write this week. I came into the office and I watched a couple of those goodbye videos, and I felt compelled to give my two cents. This is also a big part of the reason I've started the new channel. I want to share cool things with people. I just want to stretch some creative muscles I haven't used in a while. But as always, you can find my content here every other Friday. Please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. I genuinely could not do it without you. You get all sorts of cool perks, including access to the Discord server, where I try to do a live Q&A every month or so. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.